This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Have you ever been hiking or walking on a trail and then found a fork in the road? You found two different paths to take. You'd have to choose one over the other. Imagine you are hiking and you find a fork with two paths. One path you can see clearly. It's worn down by many travelers, by many hikers before you. This path is the one that's been taken so many times. The other is an unpaved path, hardly ever taken. Now, sometimes we'll hear in different types of analogies and inspirational quotes about the path less trodden. Oh, you don't need to follow the path of everyone else, that it's a better option for you to choose the one that is less trodden. This analogy is focusing on something very different. And so I want you to imagine the path that is paved, the one that's ready to go, is in fact the path of the many righteous Muslims who came before you. That's the path that has been taken millions of times. Now we are at 2 billion Muslims. This path, when you have these two options, this one is well constructed, it's well lit, and there are signs placed throughout the trail warning you, informing you of different aspects of the journey when you take this path. This is the path that is tried and tested by the righteous before you. This is the path that gives you greater access. It has less unexpected bumps along the way, and it gives you confidence, it gives you comfort throughout. Why? Because many other people have taken it before you, because of the righteous believers who traveled this path long before you came along. And so there is comfort here, and there's a type of confidence when you pursue and when you succeed with the completion of that pathway. And so choosing this path is choosing success. Those who choose this path are choosing to devote all of their attention with the limited time they have to progress, rather than potential dangers, slowdowns, distractions, temptations, unprecedented hardships along the way. So there's a sense of comfort in knowing that your journey as a Muslim, your journey in life, as unique as your life may be, spiritually, it's along the same pathway of the righteous who came before you. The righteous before us were connected to the Quran, and in so many ways, they would attempt to live upon it, to teach it, to convey it, to study it. And of course, they would want to preserve it in their hearts, realizing, in fact, they are preserved by holding on to the Quran. And they would want to teach as much of it to others as possible, even if it's only one verse that you know, one surah that you know. And this is why some of the scholars would say, like Abu al-Fadl al-Razi, he would say it was upon the memorization and the teaching of the Quran that the hearts of the first part of this ummah, the first generations of this ummah, and those after them lay. Meaning that's the foundation, it's the Quran. Imam an-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said the pious predecessors, the Salaf, the earlier Muslims, they would never teach hadith and fiqh, jurisprudence, except to someone who had memorized the Quran. Look at the standard that they had for the one who came to them saying, I'm ready to study and become a student of knowledge. Well, first you need to memorize the Quran. Why? It's the foundation of everything else. This is not the case for everyone who's trying to learn Islam in different ways. Rather, this was through specific teachers and scholars who had a high standard, and they wanted their students to be able to reference the Quran. One of the scholars, he said, I heard my grandfather say, I asked my father for permission to study under Qutaybah, so he said, first learn the Quran, and then I will give you permission. Learn the Quran, and then I'll give you permission. So he said, I started to memorize, and I memorized it by heart. And then he said to me, remain until you've led the people in prayer with it, meaning the Taraweeh prayer in Ramadan. When you've memorized the Quran, it's usually the best way to lead others in prayer and to solidify and cement what you have memorized. He said, so I did that. And then finally, after the Eid prayer, he gave me permission to leave. So I left, I departed, and he went to learn with one of his teachers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of traits that we should work towards when it comes to remembering him or listening to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. The believers are those who, when they hear the name of Allah, their hearts are moved. When the Quran is recited upon them, it increases them in iman, and they put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They put their trust in Allah. Now, we may not always feel this way, but it's something we should strive towards. And it won't happen on its own. It will happen when you start trying to connect to the Quran. It will happen when you put in effort. If someone says, I don't feel connected to the Quran, but you never put in any effort connecting to the Quran, how do you expect to get anything out of it? You're going to put in what you want to take out of happiness, of emotions, of increased iman. One of the Sahaba, Junub radiallahu anhu, he says, we were youth, young Muslims with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we learned iman, faith, beliefs, before we learned the Quran. And then we learned the Quran and it increased our iman. Whenever you recite the Quran, you will find you will encounter many things. Like what? When you read the Quran regularly, you'll read about many verses of mercy, of paradise and rewards, and it will motivate you. It will give you that part of the prescription that you need. But then you continue reciting and you recognize you also recite verses about hellfire, prohibitions, warnings, punishments. So you reflect on the examples of previous nations, the stories of people who disobey, they rejected their prophets, they rejected every sign God gave them, and they continue to ask for more out of arrogance, not out of sincerity. And we read how they were punished. You read the Quran and you find there are victories that Allah gave for the believers in times of hardship and oppression. No matter what you go through in life, recognize your path is unique for you, but yet it is so similar to the path of the Muslims who came before you. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely to guide you along that path and to grant you a reunion with those who paved the path before you. I leave you with this question. How would it feel meeting the companions in the afterlife and the Muslims who came before you, knowing you tried your best to follow in their footsteps?